Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. Today, I am joined by Mobile's own Champagne Monroe. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, as good as a pandemic will let a bitch be.
Bury that.
I say scratching and surviving like the good times songs say. So how is Mobile drag? It's different everywhere.
It is different everywhere. I would describe Mobile drag as, it's very pageant oriented. There are a lot of pageant queens here. We actually even have a couple of little bar pageants here that I've actually participated in, like Mobile Gay Pride and Miss Bebop's. Ooh. Okay, doesn't this sound great? Yes, Mobile is big enough that we have our own pride. It's not a big pride, but it's a pride.
I love that.
Right.
But so lots of pageant influence, but how has the pandemic affected y'all? Like, are we still doing shows? Are we not doing shows? Are we masked?
I mean, we are masked. Or the bar is at least telling people to be masked. Some people are masking. Some people.
Keyword, the bar is telling people.
The bar is doing its job. The bar as a business is doing its job about telling people to mask up and social distance and all this other stuff. We are doing our part to, you know, stay open so that we can at least, you know, survive this pandemic. But also people are kind of doing whatever they want to do. But no, I mean, we're doing okay. We're staying afloat. We're still open. And, We have had some really good nights. There have been a couple of nights where it's been like, okay, is, you know, are the people coming out? What's going on? We're surviving. We are surviving. We're still doing shows. Actually, just did a show last night. So Jawaka was out of town.
How was that?
It was really good. Jawaka was out of town, so I ended up hosting. It was me and a few other me and the other two cast members, Vina Shante DeVise and Miss C. And then we had a couple of other queens. We had Gappy G from Florida. And we had Aquajet Xerxes from Hattiesburg by way of Foley. So it was a really good crowd. It was a really good team. And we had a good time. So
that's one thing I've noticed. The like girls who are determined to work are traveling to get to the work. They might not be able to work in their town, but they'll work somewhere.
I mean, you got to. Hey, yes. Get in where you fit.
Absolutely. I feel it. So I'm glad to hear that y'all are able to work down there. I'm glad that drag is still alive and kicking somewhere in the world. I miss it very much. But We will return to the stage, I pray.
Yes, we will return. It's gonna be fine.
So let's talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. What is your favorite lip sync ever?
My favorite lip sync ever? I guess I'm just very basic. I mean, I loved the Brooklyn and Evie lip sync where they were just like, I'm gonna do every fucking trick that I have. So it's like, go off, sis.
Literally everything.
Alyssa Edwards and Tatiana lip sync was really good. Like, they were just in it to win it. That was a really good lip sync. Another one that came to mind was the Latrice and Kenya Michaels one, where Latrice was in that pregnant thing, and she just, like, stood there and just emoted. And I was like, bitch, you better go off. Like, Kenya Michaels is over doing all these kind of dancing and things. Like, girl, this is not what this calls for. It really just shows you that you can do all the tricks and everything else, but that's not what the song, that's not what the song calls for. Go out, and I don't understand you're lip syncing for your life so you don't get sent home. I understand that you're doing all the tricks so you don't get sent home, but sometimes if a song calls for you to just stand there and emote and just be,
emote and just be. Yes. Like, I feel you. I think there's kind of a lost art to like the lip sync sometimes when people are just trying to do all the tricks like Evie in Brooklyn, which was great because you know what? Right. That was a song where you could do that. But sometimes it just ain't, there's no partner split in this song, girl. It just, the music ain't doing it. Okay, so who is your favorite Drag Race queen of all time?
I'm very bad about having favorites of things. I've always been like this. I've been like this ever since I was a kid. Like, even just like with Power Rangers, like, you know, Jason is cool and Tommy is cool, but like, you know, I like all of them, you know. My favorites have been Bob and Monet. Who else? I love Bob and Monet. They're just really cool. They're just really fucking good queens. Period.
That's it. Period. Sibling rivalry. We love Bob and Monet. Okay. I usually just say rooting for everybody.
Them.
Back.
All them.
So
all the peoples of color.
They're all my faves. They're all my faves, from the Tyra Sanchez to the BB Zahara Bonet, all the way to the Trinity K Bonet.
Shea Coulee is a really good one too. Like, oh my God. She's just
Shea Coulee.
Jada Essence Hall is like really cool.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
She came down one time and like she had me cracking up the entire time. She would just say stupid stuff and I'm like, you're so stupid. I love you. And you're beautiful. I hate you.
I love it.
She's so great.
I know, right? How you gonna be funny and beautiful?
Right.
So let's go ahead and mosey on over to this season of Drag Race UK. How have you been feeling Drag Race UK versus US? It's been a big debate.
I feel like I'm loving this season of UK more than I'm loving this season of US. This season of Drag Race. I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe it's with UK, it's going back to like the original roots of Drag Race, where it's not as, you know, the girls are feeling more real. They're not so pressured by what they say about, you know, with the fandom, like if the fandom will like attack them or whatever, because we know this fandom is toxic as AF. Like,
it's so toxic.
I don't understand.
Yeah, okay, we'll get into it a little bit later because one of the contestants actually was bullied offline this week, but I do respect that they don't hold their tongues. I hate that the fandom is like bashing them for it because it's the thing that we love so much about Drag Race is the reality of drag queens being drag queens, you know, not these like perfect little best friend race creatures with beautiful costumes and stuff. Like, I want you to be a down and dirty drag queen sometimes.
Oh yeah. I want you to read each other for filth. Where it's like
I think that's what makes this season so entertaining.
Right.
It definitely harkens back to the earlier seasons of Drag Race because technically this is an early season of Drag Race. They haven't gotten to season 13. I bet season 13 it's going to look just like Drag Race US.
Oh, fully, fully.
But we will see if we get there. So who's your fave on this cast? Who are you rooting for?
I don't necessarily think that it's changed over time or whatever, but I really am. I'm really loving Lawrence Chaney.
Okay.
And Tace. Bimini has really grown on me. And I actually talked about this with a queen last night. like, and in the beginning, I was like, oh, she's going home either the first episode, if not first, second, maybe third, if she lasts that long. But this, right. No, because, yeah. But she, I guess she just had a really rough start, but she has really just evolved and is slaying the game. So I am all the way Team Bimini and Tace, yes, and Lawrence Chaney.
I agree. That's definitely like my top three right now, especially after how this episode went. But Bimini definitely, I think, maybe used the break that they had, the COVID break, to the best of her ability, because she really started to shine after that.
Oh, fully.
So yeah, all aboard the Bimini train. We are ready to go. So coming back into the workroom, Tace beats sister and sends her back to the house. What do you think about that?
I kind of was ready for sister to go home, and I'm glad that Tace won that lip sync.
Me too. I'm glad that sister loved her look, but it was atrocious. So she deserved to go home, and I thought Tace's Brillo pads looked cool, but, you know, obviously I see why it was in the bottom, but yeah. I was not sad to see sister go. I think it was her time, if not past it.
Very that.
So Ahura won the episode, so she gets to have two badges, and Lawrence is like, don't worry about it, you're not going to outbadge me.
I mean,
where's the lie? But I also love that, you know, Ahura's a double badger. She's like, her walk finally feels even now or whatever.
Right.
So Ellie asked the question. I thought this was so funny. This is kind of like Ellie Diamond's episode, if you will, where we get so much more than we've gotten the entire season of Ellie.
Right. She's breaking out her shell.
Yeah, she really comes to the table, but she has to, like, she's got to think, because she comes to them with the question. And she basically says, like, when you envision the top five, was I here, or do you think I'm taking someone else's space that should have been here? So you're literally asking these other girls in the competition with you if you deserve to be here. Why would you even say that?
You know, I've developed a thing over the last probably year or two, and it's like, don't open a door you don't want somebody to walk through.
Okay.
Don't open a door that you don't want somebody to walk through. So if you say something or you ask a question, you have now opened a door for these girls to walk through, and you can't get mad at what they say because you asked.
Absolutely. Exactly. And I was just like, okay, well, this is, because then she gets upset about the girls underestimating her. But I'm like, sweetheart, you posed the question. You literally asked it in such a way that it made it even easier for them to come at you and give you exactly what you were like going to be upset about. So I feel like it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
But, you know, it's the beginning of a long train of Ellie being upset this episode, and it kind of sparks off what is about to happen after the mini challenge. So first, it's a new day in the workroom. Ellie once again tells the girls that she is a competition. She says that she got really mad last week, but she's not letting it go. How do you feel?
It's like, girl, like, if you want to be, competition shouldn't have to say that they're competition. You should just be competition. Like, your actions should be speaking louder than your words. You don't have to walk into the room and be like, well, I'm your competition. It's like, okay, sis, show us.
That's the thing. Why are you so concerned with what they think? Worry about the judges.
Right. They're not judging you. They're not giving you.
They're judging you.
They're judging you. We'll just leave it at that.
They're judging you, but they're not the judges. So pay those bitches no mind, like RuPaul said. If they ain't paying your bills.
If they're not giving you a $100,000 flight to Hollywood for a show.
Not a $100,000 flight. estimated value, $100,000. Results may vary. So RuPaul comes on the screen and gives a really cryptic message. She says, "Hey, sis, what's with that funny look on your face? You know, you've been acting kind of sketchy all season. Why are you gagging so? She bring it to you every ball." And I was kind of confused for a second. I mean, there was like the funny part, the sketchy part. I'm like, okay, comedy sketch. But then like she said ball, so of course it might mean a ball challenge.
Wouldn't that be the gag to have two ball challenges in an episode?
It's like the comedy ball.
You have God.
You have to do stand-up, improv, and a comedy sketch. Could you imagine? The bitches would crumble.
I'm like, I quit. I'm leaving.
Okay, this is too much. But then Rue comes into the workroom wearing yet another wig. How do you feel about Rue and these little pussycat wigs?
I mean, for her to be getting one, I guess it's not necessarily her. That's more Michelle's thing about getting on to people about wearing wigs, but pussycat wigs in particular. But like, it's cute and she's wearing it. Like, I can see her with this Auntie Tasha looking wig.
She got on. Auntie Tasha. It's very that. It's so funny. She almost looks like the Black Beetle. Like, it's so weird. I guess she's just doing like a UK thing. I thought it should have stopped with the Jenny Lemon shade, but apparently Rue said, nope, give me another wig. Give me that. All these girls wearing pussycat wigs. Let me put one on. Let me see what the fantasy is giving. So their mini challenge is so funny and kind of offensive. It's mask for mask singer. So they're doing a fake singing competition as mask macho men. And I was like, say it, RuPaul. Say drag king. Just admit that drag kings exist.
Right.
Nope, she won't say it. She'll say macho man drag. And it's truly a disgrace.
It's kind of atrocious.
You can...
Especially because it's quick drag, so it's just kind of like, okay, we'll give you 20 minutes, throw on some clothes, and throw on some makeup, and have fun. And it's like... Really?
Right. Okay. And I think some of them might have thought that this prompt on the sheet was like a runway because some of them brought clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them had concepts going in and you can kind of tell with like Ellie's look. Like Lawrence has this fully rhinestone suit. Ellie's got these suspenders and this rhinestone shirt and she's going for a more androgynous look. And then there's like Bimini in this trashy wig.
God bless.
But like, could you imagine if they did a drag king runway, how great that would be?
Oh my God, everything, all the stones. Talk about stones on the runway, bitch. That's when you have stones on the runway.
Yes. Like, I think maybe the first season that they actually have a drag king on Drag Race, like I hope that that happens because I think it's something that should to represent drag accurately. That they should make all of the queens, if it's like a co-ed competition, they should make all of the queens do like drag king as well.
Oh, yeah. I feel like since America's Next Top Model did it, that Drag Race eventually will get to that point.
I hope
they're
so.
They're going to have to.
Like, they're it is a parody to. Of America's Next Top Model, so hopefully. We'll see. But anyway... Yeah. Let's get back to the fuckery. They're doing this open mic night. They're singing Hey Kitty Girl. It's terrible. But the winner is Ellie Diamond. Surprise,
she
surprise.
Won something.
Surprise, won surprise. Something. The producers were like, okay, give her something. Just give her something.
God.
And then they find out that their main maxi challenge for the week is a comedy night of love. It is a themed stand-up challenge where they talk about love, sex, and relationships to an inanimate object audience.
They're just doing them dirty.
I didn't think that it would be as bad as it was because I thought they would still give them a laugh track.
Right.
It was dead silent.
Oh my God. And I got why they did it, because they probably couldn't bring anybody else. They couldn't bring people into the, like, an actual audience like they normally would have.
Right, of course.
So, the inanimate object, okay, I get it, but it's just like, all right, we're performing to, like, just the judges.
And to teddy bears.
To teddy bears and blow-up dolls, and you're just like, I can't imagine how uncomfortable that probably is.
Well, I mean, I imagine it's a lot like doing stand-up on Zoom, which I recently saw. I have a friend that does comedy, and we did a show together, and the comedians did stand-up on Zoom, but since they've been doing it in front of audiences, I think they, like, already know their rhythm. They already know how to, like, work a non-room, I guess, if you will. So Right. It's possible, and I think some of the queens will rise to the occasion, but it's certainly harder.
Oh, fully.
So Ellie being the winner of the mini challenge gets to pick the order of the queens, and she's playing games.
But she's there to play games.
Okay, she literally says, I'm here to play the game. I see some of y'all as comedy queens. I see some of y'all as not so comedy queens. And those queens are Bimini and Lawrence, that are the comedy queens. And that obviously leaves Ahura and Tace as the non-comedy queens.
Right.
So she puts them in this order. Ahura, Ellie, Bimini, Lawrence, then Tace. What do you think?
I think it is strategic. And if it were me, it would look something similar to this.
You know what Lawrence thinks? Well, I just think it's a bit stupid. It's really bad. Lawrence immediately gets, like, super offended. And I think the competition is really getting to the girls, because they go in on Miss Ellie. Like, Ahura says, you just want me to crack. Like, you put me first because you want to see me fail. And that says a lot about you, Ellie. I was like, okay.
Oh, now y'all are mad because she's being a competitor. Okay.
But they're trying to use this, like, guilt tactic of, like, I'm disappointed in you. You're that kind of girl. And it's like, you know what? Maybe I am. But Ellie's conflicted. She's like...
For me, I feel like Ellie shouldn't have apologized. I think that's what made it worse.
Uh-huh.
Like, girl, no, just, this is a competition. Like, yes, these are now your friends, and these are, like, I guess some of them are your sisters or whatever. But, like, at the end of the day, somebody has to go home and somebody has to win.
Yep.
So you have the power to make this happen, bitch. Okay, you going forth and you stay mad. Stay mad, Abby.
Okay. Not Abby. But exactly, like, hit him with the Naomi Smalls. Life's not fair. Okay?
Right.
You gonna get what you get, and you don't throw a fit, like we tell kindergartners. But right. Ellie says, if it makes me a bad guy, so be it. Y'all been talking about, Ellie, where's your badge? Ellie, where's your... And Lawrence hit her so fast with the, wait, so you think you're gonna get a badge this week? I gagged, because she was serious. Like, she wasn't even joking. It hurt. So then she said, I've got a pretty good chance going after Ahura. But you said, she felt bad, and she was like asking them if they were okay. And Lawrence is like, no, don't ask me if I'm okay. You did what you did.
Which is why you shouldn't be apologetic. Just say it and do it and run with it. If they're mad, I'm like, okay. Okay.
Well, I hope that you use that anger in your material, and I hope that it serves you well.
God,
I gotta go. So Tace is just sitting there, and she's just like, people are pressed. The girls are girling, and Bimini is just like, well, it's all about your material, ain't it? Like, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And I'm with Bimini.
I'm so Bimini. Like, I love her so much.
If you're first, make a joke about it. If you're last, make a joke about it. Wherever you are, make a joke about the person before you and the person after you. Like, it, just do your best, all right? They're wasting right. their energy on worrying about Ellie when they could just worry about their material.
T.
It's almost like, do you think you're going to be able to get her to change her mind at this point? Because, like, she already told production. So I would just be like, okay, whatever. Like, F you, but also whatever.
Right, right.
So then they get to practice with Alan Carr. So this was fun to actually see their material. Some of them were actually really funny in the rehearsal. And some of them got worse. What did you think about rehearsal?
rehearsal was kind of good. And then you're just sitting there like kind of cringy, like, oh, that's a little much. Oh, that's a little much. And then you get to the performance and you're like, okay, I feel highly uncomfortable, but I'm going to laugh at this because it's funny, but it's also really bad.
Might be funny for the wrong reason in some of their cases.
Very that.
So Uhura is told to just like be bold because she's first. Like the first thing that she brings up in her run through with Alan was like, well, she put me first. And it's like, okay, we're here now. Let's focus, you know? So they tell her to be bold. They tell Ellie that even though she was second after Aura, you still have to stand out. Like, it's not just about the order. And she right. chooses to be a demon. What did you think about that idea?
Choices. Choices. Yeah, I was a little confused about where that was going to go.
It didn't go anywhere.
Not really. Not at all.
It never actually ended up anywhere.
It went from, yeah, it was really kind of crass and just kind of like, okay, girl, yeah, you're not getting a match this week.
I mean, like, it could have been a cool concept if it actually, like, if it went to, if there was, like, a destination that she was trying to get to by the end of it. But it didn't seem like she had an idea. She was just like, I'm going to switch my voice because that's going to be funny.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes for Ellie when we get to the actual comedy challenge. Now let's get into Bimini.
I just love Bimini so much. I love them so much. They're just, yeah. I love
My Bimini. Thing is like, how can you be so funny in your practice? Like, she was funny before the actual challenge, so I just knew that it was going to be great when she actually got to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then Lawrence comes on, and we all expect Lawrence to be the funny girl, right? But that's not what she gives us.
I just feel like you can, I feel like at this point, the competition is really getting to Lawrence. Like, Lawrence was, like, really great at the beginning, and then, like, I think he's, like, I think they're teetering out a little bit, and, like, we're kind of seeing that the competition is getting to them. Uh-huh. So, like, the outburst from earlier in this episode where she's, like, going in on Ellie, and then, okay, well, girl, you're supposed to be the funny girl. Like, you're the funny girl in this whole cast. And then you get to practice, and it's like, oh, okay, this is what you're bringing? Okay.
It's not given what it was supposed to have gave.
Right.
So, yeah, that kind of sucks. But it wasn't that she was bad. It was that her jokes kind of went on too long. Like, she kept belaboring the point, like, just hit them with the joke, move on. Hit them with the joke, move on. Don't, like, dawdle on. So I think that it could have been fixed. It could have been saved, but we'll see how she does in the challenge.
Right.
Next, we've got Tace, who comes out and just starts talking to Alan, and I immediately think, like, if you can do this on stage, it'll be great, because she's a naturally funny person.
Right.
I don't think she realizes it, like Alyssa Edwards.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
But Alyssa found her funny, and I think that Tace can too. She comes upon this really natural moment where she's talking about, like, I've never had love unless you count beans on toast. And Alan's like, well, talk about that. That's funny.
Right.
And I think that was a great tip, and I think it ended up making it a lot better than it could have been, which, you know, we're all expecting the pretty girl to fail.
Right.
So let's see how this goes. It's elimination day. And guess what, Champagne? Guess what?
There are still press panini!
Lawrence and Ahura are still fucking mad. Oh my gosh, let it go, Elsa, let it go. So, like, I don't know how much we can get out of this storyline. It's almost as if somebody's going home, you would think, like, that Ellie was going to get sent home by Lawrence or something, the way that they're really driving this. But maybe that's going to happen later. Maybe they're saving that. Maybe they're setting it up. I don't know.
It's a setup.
I'm always believing in the setup. I'm always looking for the conspiracy or the hand of production, like, sneaking in there, like, bet you didn't see this coming. But Ellie is over there at her station. She is not bothered. I know that because the room is so small that she can hear every word that they're saying about her. But,
oh, they have to.
You know, she's just like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just going to get ready. And that's the spirit, sis. All right. I may not agree with you. I may not think that you need to still be there. However, I respect it.
Right.
So Lawrence asks Tace and Ahura about their relationship, and I secretly think that he's working on a fanfic.
I can believe that!
Like, the way that they joke about it, and the way Lawrence has not let it go, like, he's gotta be collecting data. He finds out that Tace and Ahura are like sisters now, but they did bump uglies once upon a time.
Oh my god, like, I love Lawrence, and this, like, I'm gonna make a fan fiction, like, this is kind of creepy, but also at the same time, I'm living for it, like.
Right, right. I mean, they live together, the story writes itself. It's a tale as old as time, okay? How do you think Tace gets all those sickening outfits?
Oh, that's a match made in heaven. You have the designer, you have the model.
Exactly. Put them together. Who else do you need? Oh. Exactly. But they kind of transition from this conversation into a conversation about Tace and her love life. And she's like, what love life? Like, I don't have one of those. And I'm shocked. Like, she goes back into a story about how the first person that she, you know, did the deed with or whatever, gave her the clap and something else. Gonorrhea and syphilis?
No, gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Chlamydia. Okay. Jeez. So that was her introduction to, like, love and dating and relationships and stuff like that. And it kind of, like, screwed with her head and made her feel, you know, bad.
Somebody who, right, like, you look like, you know, this is, like, later on in the, you know, later on in the series, and we're like, you know, Tace is so beautiful, Tace is so great, and it's just like, how the fuck, like, and then we find out this, and it's just like a bomb dropping. You're just like, God, what the fuck?
Right. I mean, she says it really messed with her self-esteem and made her feel like, you know, she couldn't trust anyone. And then the fact that she hasn't been able to find anyone makes her feel like, well, I must be ugly if nobody wants me. But it's so shocking to me because she's literally the trait of the season. Lawrence reminds her of that. And you can be the most beautiful person in the world and still feel low self-esteem.
Right. She's still trying to get way through those 99 people to find that one.
Yes, Gaga. But it's just, like, gaggy to me because she's so gorgeous. I'm like, you know what? I need to start acting more beautiful because clearly it's all in our heads. If Tace can feel ugly, then I can feel beautiful.
God bless.
Okay. It is all in our heads. So I love that Tace is kind of sharing the story. I hope that her and Lawrence do find some love after the season, and I hope that they aren't just dating them for their drag.
Oh my god.
So then we get to the runway. What do you think about Rue in this gold number?
I love this so much. Like, she is glowing.
Yes,
she is absolutely glowing.
I love this color of red on her. Like, give me a brown ginger any day.
I want this. Like, you know, not to be sound big-headed or anything, but somebody said I could look like RuPaul if I learned how to paint a little bit better. And I was like, you know what?
What a lovely backhanded compliment.
I mean, they weren't meaning it as a backhanded, like, it was a queen that I know and I, you know, respect and whatever. Like, she wasn't trying to be mean about it. She was just like, you know, work. Because this was, like, early on in my career, okay. My drag career. So I was still learning to paint. She's like,
okay, you know, so the comment was warranted.
Right. But, if I could learn how to not paint so dark, I would be like, yes, this is what I would like to aspire. And this lovely coiffed brown ginger hair that she has going on.
Oh, so gorge. I really like it. It's a toot this week. Very simple, but very effective. Great job, Zaldi. Great job, Raven. Great job, whoever's doing the hair right now.
Okay, whoever's doing her hair has her on point.
I know. Like, I don't know who it is. It's not Delta.
Yeah, but no shade to Delta, but yeah.
I mean, Delta had the wigs looking right too. Okay. She's Emmy Award winning.
She is Emmy Award winning.
So, the accolades speak, darling.
So,
let's get into this comedy show. So, Uhura comes out and she looks gorgeous. Like, she's wearing this beautiful stone to the gods gown. The length is questionable, but it's good. The wig is questionable, but it's good. And she's doing a pretty good job. What do you think about her set?
It was funny, but I kind of feel like it was funny for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Because it is very vulgar. It is very crass. And especially when you bring your nan into this, your grandma, and it's just like, okay, I feel really uncomfortable right now, but I'm continuing to laugh. I don't know why I'm laughing, but it is what it is. So, but right. She did good, but it was just...
Yeah, I think it was like going for the shock value joke, but I feel like it just ended up being more like, oh, wow, you're really going there. That's kind of funny that you're actually saying this. And I think that it could have been a mixture of the two.
Right.
Like, I think it could have been like, you know, they say that us youngins have nothing in common with our older generation, but me and my grandma have one thing in common. We both love huge cocks. Like, just throw that out there and it would have been really funny. But instead it was like, big fat, you know, like, she's going so hard into it, and it's just like, I think you could have been a little bit smoother with it, but her name is Uhura, like, what do we expect?
This is true.
I think that she could have played it up a little bit more, but I think, you know, she was nervous, she was going first, and there's so much there, you know, so much going on in her mind, so,
right.
Either way, I thought she did okay.
Yeah. It wasn't bad, but it was bad. It was
you
bad,
know who
it wasn't
I thought
bad.
Was bad?
Who?
Ellie Diamond.
What? Yes. Like
Uhura might have forgotten a joke somewhere, and RuPaul was like, how dumb was she? Like, literally. Okay, like,
that was cute. That was cute.
It was kind of awkward, but she saved it. She recovered. But Ellie was just cringy.
Yeah.
So
I wrote, but I'll save that for later.
I wrote yikes on bikes because Lauren said that earlier in the episode and it tickled me. So it's so bad because she's like going into this deep voice and doing this other character, like we said earlier, but seeing it in action, it's just like, oh, wow, what am I watching? Like the judging panel literally looks confused and they're just laughing out of how uncomfortable it is.
Right.
I feel like it could have been good. I'm always trying to like salvage something and figure out how it could have been better. I think if it, like we said, had a point or if there was a backstory or something, like if maybe this was the reason she couldn't find love, You know, like her, the Dirty Deb, what's her name? Dirty Diamond? If Dirty Diamond kept ruining all of her dates or something.
Yes, that could have been it. Like, you know, she likes dick and like, then it brings out Dirty
right,
Diamond.
Right, like she's trying to date a guy and get to know him and Dirty Diamond is just like, dick, I love dick. You know, like that could have been funny.
Yeah.
I think it didn't get all the way there to where it could have been great. But she gets through it, and I thought it was kind of funny how she dismounted because she was like, and your next performer, like, just out of nowhere, and your next performer is Bibbidi Bobbleash. It was so weird. So, speaking of Bimini, she was amazing. She was out of this world. She was the best. Not a joke, just a fact.
I mean, like, we've gotten to know Bimini throughout this entire competition, and, like, just seeing Bimini, like, I wouldn't think that she is as funny as she is.
Right.
But she is, she's fucking great. Like, I don't know if she just innately just understands comedy, or just, this is just, like, her personality, or, like, I don't know, but, like, it just came so natural. And she wasn't, and I love it when a comedian will like tell a joke and everybody is cracking their shit and they're just stone faced, like, it's not a joke, it's a fact. And you're just still like,
why is it so funny?
Like, what are you laughing about? It's not a joke, it's fact.
Yeah, like, I love that delivery because it's like you have to know what makes it funny and then you also have to not react to it. So that you can, like, layer onto it, which I thought Bimini did so well. My favorite part is when they're already laughing and then the comedian tells another joke on top of it. Because if you notice, they barely stop laughing the entire time. She doesn't give them a second to breathe.
No, not at all.
It's so good. I just, I think that she studied. I think that she did some homework while she was on quarantine.
She probably did.
Because, baby, like you said, I would not have guessed it from episode one. She's a vegan. But she did it.
And that cracks me up too every time. Now that she says that she's vegan. I'm vegan.
So good. So good. Then we get to Lawrence, who is supposed to be good. But she wasn't good. She wasn't good
at all.
I mean, not at all. Say at all.
She was. I mean, she was funny. It's just, I think Lawrence is like, I think she's a little bit too intellectual in her funny. So okay. Where it's like, she gets on this like, okay, I'm going to tell this joke, and it's going to go here, and it's going to go here, and it's going to go here, here, and here. But it's, instead of going to just like, girl, you don't have to go through A, B, C, D, and E. You could have just hit A, B, D, and hit E and been done. It's like you don't need all of this extra shit going on. Like, girl, like, hit it and go. I think she's just too smart for her jokes.
I agree.
Too smart in telling her jokes or something.
I think that the same way that we talked about Bimini, how she didn't give them a second to breathe, Lawrence gave them too much time to think because she was thinking. But it's like you don't want them to start thinking or start to overanalyze or anything. You just want to like hit him over the head with the joke. And I think she started really well because to me, she walked out there like she was at a bar. She was like, how's everybody doing tonight? How do I look? You know, I know you see this camel toe, but you know, it's like she just right out of the gate came strong. And then from there, it just kind of dribbled on.
And okay, so with that, we just got through with Bimini, so the energy is already high. So you don't have to, I probably would have just killed that little bit. Like, it was funny and it was cute. And had there been, but like, Bimini was already got the energy high, so you don't need to do that to keep the energy high.
Right.
Go ahead and get into the joke.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, I would have like kept it going or hit them with a joke right off the bat about Bimini. Like, you know, like,
yes,
keep it up, you know, keep it really high. But she just kind of took it way down, which I think kind of sets Tace up for a home run.
Yeah. I just thought about this too. And it's like, Another person who's kind of a little bit similar to this is Benda LaCreme during, I think it's during All Stars. I don't think it was on her season. I think it was on All Stars.
Okay.
Because she kind of bombed during her season. Where, like, Ben would tell a joke, and then you're sitting there listening to Ben tell the joke, and then all of a sudden she's hitting you with the joke, and you're like, oh, bitch, she ain't got me! And I feel like that. Right, because it was, I think it was during the reading challenge where Ben had was hitting them with the, with hitting them with the zinger, and then they didn't, you know, after a minute they processed, like, oh, bitch, she just read me. I feel like had Lawrence done that where, you know, she's kind of telling the joke, and then she hits them with the joke, and then they, yes. Oh, bitch, she just got me with the joke, and then you're like, oh, okay, I got the, I think had she done that, that'd have been another way to do it too.
Yes, but that sounds super intellectual and not in the good, not in the way that got Lawrence together, but in a way that I think Lawrence has the capability to do, but maybe not the experience to do. Because like Lawrence is sure a seasoned queen, but I feel like that takes a more seasoned comedian like a Benda LaCreme or a Bianca to like embed the joke in the story, you know, instead of just having it be like, gotcha, here's the punchline. You know?
Fair enough.
So then we get to Tace, who looks stunning. And she does a pretty good job, too.
Yes, yes.
I was pleasantly surprised. I just can't get over her freaking highlighter. Her cheeks are jumping off her face.
One day I'll learn how to highlight my face.
I just put glitter and let that do the work for me.
I feel that.
Oh, but yeah, so she's talking about beans on toast. She gets on the floor, gives us some physical humor. And then she starts telling more stories about food. I thought this was going to be a great trend.
I actually liked it. I kind of wanted some beans on toast. And I don't know what kind of beans you're putting on toast.
I think it's just baked beans. I think they're just putting baked beans on toast.
That's got to be some British shit.
Like, what? Right? Like, it's so
weird. I don't
weird.
Understand that.
Hold on. Hold on. Let's look up a picture of beans on toast.
Oh, my
we're
God.
Doing research, okay?
Right now, during the podcast, we're doing research.
Oh, my God. It looks like someone just, like, spilled a can of beans on top of a piece of toast. Why is this a thing?
But, like, do you season the beans? I'm like, do you
they look seasoned. I see some herbs.
Some,
it looks
cheese?
Like it's cheese. Why are you putting cheese on beans on toast? None of these things go together.
I mean, I put cheese in my baked beans, you know, but
oh, really?
Not... Yes, girl. Okay, so you
I
get you
like
some
that's
baked
a different
beans.
Kind of bean. That's chili
no, no, no,
beans
no, no, no.
to me.
No, 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 girl. No, 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 no. You can get some baked beans out the can. Maybe throw a little barbecue sauce, a little, you know, dice them up a little bit so you know you get a little. A little savory, whatever, whatever. Throw some hamburger meat in there, because, baby, you know, hamburger meat and beans. Or you can do hot dogs, whatever. And
I've had the hot dogs.
And then you get some cheese and you just sprinkle that on top real good. Bitch, it's... that's dinner.
Okay.
Dinner. Done.
I'll take
it's
your
a
word
quick little,
for it.
I don't feel like... It's a quick little, I don't feel like being bothered. Can of beans, a little bit of meat, throw some cheese on top.
Well, hey, it sounds like you and Tace have something in common, your love of beans and cheese and a side of bread.
Hashtag baked beans.
Oh, my God. But that's a story for another time.
That is a story for another time. Okay, so I feel like maybe she was doing it on stage and, like, the camera or like the editing didn't get it as much, because I felt like when we were watching it, she didn't say that all the time. So I'm thinking that she was saying it all the time, but editing cut it out. So it
I
sounds
think
weird.
They might have cut out maybe one more, but I think three is enough times. I heard two. We heard two on the thing, but I think
right.
If you're going to do it, it needs to become a joke, not a joke, just a fact like that, you know?
Right.
And it could have been funny if she had kept up what she was doing, because she said like beans on toast, then she said I told myself I love you in my SpaghettiOs. If you made another joke about food, that's a joke for another story, or Jesus, that's another story for another time or whatever. And then at the end you close it up and say like it's time for me to go eat or something like that. That would have been like funny, you know?
Right, right.
But instead, it just kind of said, it kind of threw it off to another time, and we're all wondering, like, well, when is the other time? Why is it not time now? And hearing that she kind of rushed through it and didn't use as much time as the other girls really makes sense, because it seems like, you know, she was nervous and like, let me not go too far into that. That's a joke for another time. Let's move on.
Right, right.
But in the end, I think that she did well. I think it was okay.
Oh, yeah, she did good. She was safe.
So next up, we have the runway, and the category is Stoned on the Runway. But before we get into that, let's take a short break.
Cat, cat, a cow.
And we're back. So
cat,
it's cow. Stoned on the Runway. What do you think about this runway challenge?
I think it sounds fun just from like hearing it, like, ooh, we're going to see a lot of stones, a little, not glitter, but like a lot of sparkle. So just, you know, I'm excited.
What would you do for this runway?
I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to give it a little more thought, but definitely I would want to try to be at least a little creative and try to stand out a little bit, you know, try to figure out something fun to do.
Right. I wonder if they told them that they couldn't do marijuana as a theme.
But like, I'm wondering too.
Because the theme, I know that they probably didn't put stoned on the runway on the paper that they got with the prompt.
Oh. So I think Bimini posted this on Twitter today or recently that the prompt only gave them stones. It didn't say stoned on the runway. It was just stones. Because, you know, they get, like, probably these vague kind
right.
of...
They get just, like, this... In one word, how would you describe this runway? Stones.
Right.
So, but I still feel like if I would have gotten the stone prompt, I might have been like, what if we did rhinestone pot leaves? Or, like, you know, something outside of the box. Because I don't want to just come out dripping in stones. That's... easy. That's what somebody is going to do. But I love when somebody takes the prompt and turns it into a unique interpretation.
I feel like I would want to do something like colorful. Like I want like different colored stones all over the place.
Something completely encrusted in rainbow stones.
What just came to mind was Sableye. I know that's a Pokemon reference.
And yes! I'm gonna look at it,
but yes! I feel like that would be super cute. Just wearing like a black, like something in black, and then just having some stones like everywhere.
So I feel that. Like that would Especially be cute. If you like did a fashion Sableye and then did like some glasses with the big kaleidoscope lenses.
Oh my god, yes.
And then you just like take them off at the end of the runway. That would be sickening. And
I
nerdy.
Feel like I love it. I feel like if I ever got on Drag Race and I have no resources whatsoever, but I feel like I would want to try and be that's another time for another story. But I feel like I would want to have as many like nerdy references as I could.
Yes.
So on the runway, especially. So yeah, I'm excited about this runway.
I love that. So let's get into it. First up, we have Ahura, who's dripping in diamonds. She comes out with her IV, and she's giving very much Gaga.
Yes, very Bad Romance. Gaga inspired.
Yes, very Bad Romance for sure. I like it, but it feels like there's something I would edit about every little bit of it.
I feel like I love the look. Like she looks good. She looks damn good. However, I kind of feel like it's a little simple for the runway. Like, because, again, you know, it's a bodysuit. But, you know, hey, who am I to talk? Because I'd probably be doing the same thing, wearing a bodysuit and having a bunch of shit stuck on it.
It's a bedazzled bodysuit, okay?
Oh, it's a bedazzled bodysuit.
Yeah, I think the thing about the bodysuit for me is that if Black girls have to struggle to find the right color tight, and we do, and we make it work, so do you, okay? This nude mesh is not your color. It's the same color as your wig.
Right.
So it's not giving me nude illusion like it could. So that makes it look even more like bodysuity.
You should have painted your back and your hands and your face.
Or just the bodysuit. It would have looked so good if it was like in her skin tone or the one that she paints on. But yeah.
I feel that.
Then the hair, I just needed to be bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for the shape of a horse face, I think it just needs to be a little bit bigger. But that's just me being nitpicky. It's cute overall. Then we get Ellie Diamond. What do you think?
Ellie, I love Ellie because she, I mean, Ellie looks good. Let's just be real about the situation.
Her nude mesh matches.
her nude mesh matches. Ellie looks good. Her face is always painted, but she always comes out with this, the same silhouette. And it's not even like it's the same silhouette every time, or just about every time.
Almost every time, yes.
Almost every time it's the same silhouette. If it's either this top with a skirt, with a mini skirt and some boots, or it's a bodysuit with some chaps on it. Like, it's yep. Very,
she's got three silhouettes and she knows them well.
Right. At least it's, I mean, hey, there's two more silhouettes than Bianca Del Rio.
Oh, God!
But yeah, like, it's the same kind of, like, cutesy Barbie doll look. And I'm like, okay, girl, like, you really are just sticking to this one silhouette. And it really shows.
Yeah, overall, and I don't know whether... Yeah, I like... Good. Yeah, I don't know whether I... like it or hate it, because I think there's something about, like, signature silhouettes and things like that. You know what you're going to get from her. But I just felt like if your name is Ellie Diamond and the theme is stones, baby, you should have come out as the queen of diamonds. You should have been, like, over the top, you know? And I just felt like it was safe.
I feel like, yeah, like you said, like, she being the queen of diamonds, like, that should have been, like, a floor-length gown with stones just all over it, and this, like, cute little, like, pompadour kind of thing going on. Like, just look like, this is my runway. I am the queen of diamonds. Why? Because I'm Ellie Diamond.
Right. But the outfit was covered in diamonds. The boots were covered in diamonds. So, you know, she did okay. She did okay!
She did okay!
You know who did great?
Fucking Bimini. Oh my God. I have never wanted to have acne before in my life, but Bimini makes me want to have grotesque, pus-filled, sparkly stones.
Do you know how many teenagers in the UK are going to school on Monday with rhinestones on their acne? Trendsetter! Bimini comes out in this sickening, like, suit that is covered in, it's like nude, first of all, a good match nude, and it's covered in pustules, it's got red dye and red stones to look like pimply skin head to toe. It's beautiful.
Like, I've never wanted to have acne so bad in my life, and Bimini is just giving it to me in this lesbian punk rock fantasy. I am for it.
It's so good. So scrumptious. All the pus. I just love it. So this is what I mean about, like, interpreting the challenge in a way that's like, no one else would ever think to do this exact same thing. That's the kind of runways I want to do, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Like,
definitely.
It's her unique perspective, and I, you know, she just made so many teenagers feel seen. I just, what a gracious queen.
Okay, queen of the people.
Crown it! So then we get to Lawrence, who is giving us pink alien Majin Buu Jigglypuff earrings.
Not the Majin Buu!
This is, like, not even her final form. She's got this headpiece. She's got stones everywhere, okay? One thing you can't say is that she missed a spot.
No, not at all. Like, and I loved this interpretation, one, because she is pink and not white like everybody else has been.
Okay.
And she, like, okay, I love Lawrence's proportions. She always looked bodied, and I live for it.
Absolutely. But
she definitely looks like somebody. I could definitely see her as a creature on Doctor Who. Like as she was saying in her little blurb, like
yes,
she looks super super good.
My only critique again, and I know they only get like 7 suitcases or whatever, is bigger headpiece. Like I just felt like your shoulders, your hips, they're so beautifully big. You got to make the headpiece match.
I kind of just feel like if she had more of that, like that rock, like the headpiece business and the shoulder piece business, I wish that was more throughout the look instead of just being, well, these are my shoulders.
Her vajayjay.
Yeah, and I want more.
I want more. Yeah, I think it could have been bigger.
I want more of that rock business. Yeah, bigger and just more all over.
Right, because I see a little bit on the knee, a little bit on the like hip area. So I just wish the headpiece was just a tiny bit bigger to make it look even more grand. But other than that, no notes because this is spectacular.
Right.
Then next we get Tace coming down the runway looking like a Mugler alien princess warrior thing. Like,
Tace looked so good. Sorry, I'm waiting. There we go. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was like, I forgot what Tace looked like.
She looks like she's about to fight Lawrence in space.
Oh my God, can that be a thing? Can that please be a thing?
Somebody draw it, okay? Artist friends. Draw us Tace and Lawrence going into intergalactic battle.
I think, but yeah, no, this is, it's a little different. It's kind of simple, but it is definitely done well and it is done effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate this. I'm loving it from head to toe.
Okay, my only critique for this, not that my opinion matters because it doesn't, but my only critique for this is I hate when I can A, see your tight line and I can see Tace's tight line. B, I also hate when queens wear thongs over tights. Like, it's never gonna look like a thong should because you don't have butt cheeks anymore.
Right. Or if you're gonna have butt cheeks, make sure that they're like, I think because it might be just, right. I feel like there needs to be some kind of, I don't know, like, make it more of one butt cheek and one other butt cheek so that it kind of like dips in the middle.
Right.
So that you give the allusion, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I mean, she looks stunning. There's nothing that I could take away from this look. I just wish that the tights matched and also weren't, because that would have made the line a little bit less visible, and then also the whole thong thing. But I understand it's a stoned thong. It's great. If she had a different shape cut back there, it might not have looked as great. So, you know, she looks great. She looks
right.
Great. Nitpicking. Oh, we're nitpicking.
Hey, it's the top 5.
And that's what we do. Yes. So, in the results, they say that Uhura was a little too vulgar. Can you imagine that? A drag queen? Too vulgar?
I mean, her name is Uhura, so...
That's what I'm saying. It would have been whore jokes left and right, but I think she just took it, like you said, too crass and stayed there too long. But they like her outfit. So, there's that. They say, who picked the set list? You were first. And Ellie's like, I did. And Rue's like, you shady bitch. That's how you play the game. So it's like, Rue loves it.
Right. But yeah, like, and the thing about Uhura is, it's like, as somebody who goes first, you don't have to worry about being better than the person before you because everybody else is behind you. So you set the bar. So yeah, if the judges go back and think about it and be like, okay, well, Uhura sets the thing, but then like you have to make people think back to the beginning, then it's like you shouldn't have to worry about that. You should have been like, oh, I'm glad to go first because now I can get my shit out the way. I can set the bar, so you can either do worse or better or worse than me. And I kind of feel like Ellie did worse than Uhura.
I agree. It ended up making Uhura look better, but the judges didn't care about that, which proves that the like set list doesn't matter as much as they wanted it to. That was just, you know, a nice little thing to be upset at Ellie about, but it didn't really matter in the end to me. I think it mattered more for their psyche than it did for the actual competition.
Right, right.
Which, I mean, that's part of the competition, so that makes sense.
Competition.
So anyway, they didn't know why Ellie was funny, but it was. And someone said that the reason was probably the fact that she didn't have a good rhythm. It was the guest judge, who is a Dawn French, I think?
Uh-huh.
I'm not familiar with her, but...
I don't know her.
That's because we're stupid Americans. but she told her that, like, when you do that sort of dropping out of your voice and into a different character thing, you got to have good rhythm with it. And I just don't... I think that's... Ellie don't have rhythm.
Ellie is white girl and she doesn't have rhythm. I guess... I don't know.
So then they get to Bimini and Rue's like, you look like some actress, and without missing a beat Bimini goes, Meryl Streep.
Brilliant. Just just brilliant.
I want to give her an award. I want to give her a crown. I like, she's just so good. She gets a very good critique, and they say that she's a boundary pusher with her looks.
I mean, it's like, again, this is a great look. Like, yes, it is a blazer, and yes, but it's got, like, it has, the blazer has acne on it. Like, who the fuck thinks of shit like that?
Exactly. Like, I'm just,
it's
like,
great.
It's so good. It's too good. So, they say that Lawrence is the most natural comic on the stage, because they're easy to connect with. And that their punchlines were good, but like we said, it just took a little too long to get to the point.
Like, you're taking a fucking megabus, which I didn't know that they
that
had megabuses.
So
I didn't know they had megabus. Well, I guess, whatever. I mean,
I guess it megabus is like an international, huh?
I guess so. I don't know.
I mean, Alan Carr is also international, so maybe he learned. I don't know.
No one really knows. But anyway, yeah.
We're not here to know things. We're just here to talk about things.
We're just talk about things. But yes, like, girl, you were, it's like, okay, all right, the punchline.
Where is it? Look, I want someone to mash together Trinity and Bimini saying, where are the jokes? Because Bimini said, where are the jokes? Where are they? So, yeah, I definitely felt for Lawrence because she's our front runner. She's supposed to do well at this. This is her thing, and she didn't live up to it. So, I bet you Untucked is going to be spicy.
But the thing about it is, you failed at the comedy challenge twice.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Right. So are you a comedy queen or are you just funny?
Right.
So then we get to Tace, and it kind of works to her advantage that she's Tace the pretty girl because Melissa. Michelle is like, I thought you were going to suck, but you didn't. I'm like, yes, that's the edit I want. Look, underestimate me so I can... exceed your expectations, please.
Please, honey.
Okay. I love it. An underdog story. So they felt like she was rushing, which she was. And Rue says that, like, it's okay to make eye contact with us. We want you to look at us and say, like, hi, look at me. And they felt like she didn't really give that. Did you notice that?
I can kind of feel that. I can kind of feel
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she did seem a little bit nervous, but, like, she was.
Oh, fully. That I was tasted the entire episode. Just sitting there just like, y'all are over here bitching. I'm like, girl, it doesn't matter. Just get your content right.
Okay.
Girl,
exactly.
You know, and then just rushing through everything like, okay, now speaking of content, I gotta get my shit together.
Mm-hmm. So, like, get it out, get it over with, get off the stage, okay? Get to the runway
right.
Where she's comfortable. But
Right.
Speaking of comfortable, none of the girls are comfortable in Untucked because it's heated.
Ooh.
We get into Untucked and Ahura's like, I don't even want to look at you, Ellie. I literally can't stand you right now. I want to cry, but it's not because I'm sad. It's because I'm so angry at you. Honestly, I'm disappointed in you. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. She hit her with that one.
Okay. You know you did something when they're disappointed in you.
Like, whose dad are you, Ahura? Like, you can chill out. Like, you... So what? You're disappointed in me. That's fine, sweetie. But you know what, Mimi? They did.
But I think the thing with Ahura is like, Ahura knew from the jump that she was not comfortable doing comedy. Uh-huh. She's like, I'm not a comedy queen. I'm not even really that funny. Like, I can tell a couple of jokes and I can give you some good reads, mm-hmm. but like actually just going out there and just telling comedy or, you know, doing comedy is like, she already knew that she was in over her head. Mm-hmm. And then throwing on top of being first in the comedy challenge, that really got to her as well.
Right.
So I just feel like, so with Ahura being angry or mad at Ellie for putting her first, I can sympathize with that. Like, girl, you have a reason to be mad. I feel you.
I agree with you. Like you said, she wasn't going to do well no matter what. But I think that because the Ellie thing happened, it gave her an excuse to blame it on someone besides herself.
Oh, yeah, fully.
Like, once Ellie gave her that, it was just like, oh, yeah, this is, I'm going to fail, and it's all your fault, because you put me first. It's like, well, where would you have done well?
Right.
Based on the critique.
I feel like had she came back with that, I'm like, okay, well, girl, then let's put you in this other, I think even if she had changed it and put her, like, well, fine, I'll go first, and then done it, and then it would have been like, okay. And then they still would have had the same critique. They still would have had the same thing. It's like, okay, well, girl, I put you second. I went first. Still did the same thing. So what are we at now?
Right, exactly. Like, we'll never know because we don't live in that reality. But I just feel like it wouldn't have changed too much. But they are arguing. Ellie is actually like, I told Tace I felt so bad. And Lawrence is like, girl, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for 1 minute because you said you were playing the game. So... play the game.
I just don't understand why Lawrence feels the way that she feels. Like, I don't get it. Like, I mean, if it has to deal with Ellie, like, feeling regret for what she's done, or if it's because, you know, Ellie's trying to make it seem like, well, I'm not trying to be mean, but also I'm going to be strategic, I can get that, but even still with Lawrence, it's like, again, you're the natural comic in this whole entire thing. It should not have mattered where you went. You should have just been able to be wherever you be and kill it.
And deliver. And that's it, right? That's really it. That's why Tace, like, says, get over it. Like, the girls need to get over it. And I think it's because her and Ellie are supposed to be friends because they're both Scottish, but... I think it's also just an opportunity to try to, like, make someone else feel bad for your failure. And, like, Bimini's getting this weird older, younger sister vibe, and I totally see that, where it feels like the older sister ganging up on the younger sister.
Phil, I feel that. That's
very Angelica versus Tommy. So Lawrence is finally just like, I'm hurt by this. And it's like, okay, Untucked is over. Let's go back, Queens, to the main stage.
Please.
Please.
Thank you, main stage.
In the drama. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but the fandom had a lot to say about Lawrence and in this challenge and in this situation. So we'll get into that in our tea and speculation section. But for right now, let's see what the judges had to think. So Bimini wins, as she should. Not
as
a joke, just
should.
A fact. Ellie is shockingly safe. Were you gagged?
Yes and no, because we already kind of knew where this setup was going, because Drag Race is very classic about what they do with their putting who they want on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really hate that based on the critiques, I was like, oh, God, this is what they're doing. They're going to put Tace and Ahura in the bottom so that they can lip-sync against each other. No.
Two things that you don't do at Drag Race, because they will... Probably three things. One is don't ever tell them that you don't have parents, because they will make that a thing. Two, It just popped in my mind. Sorry. Two is don't ever tell them that you're good at something, because then they will be like, oh, well, you said you were good at this. So then obviously you know, you should be great. So then right. You're set up for failure from the get-go. And three is don't ever fall in love or be friends with somebody or on enemies. The cast. Or enemies, because then they are going to put you in the bottom and you're going to have to lip sync and you're going to have to send one of each other home.
Right.
So
pick your enemies and your lovers wisely.
Right. So they already knew that Bimini won and they already knew they were going to save Lawrence. So bottom three, you two got chemistry. So we're going to put you in the bottom two and have you lip sync against each other.
Exactly. So. Like, there wasn't really a storyline between... I mean, I guess they could have done Ahura and Ellie because of the current episode, but this felt like the writing was on the wall from weeks ago.
Oh, fully.
So Ellie's safe, Tace and Ahura in the bottom, and sadly, Ahura is sent home. What did you think about the lip sync?
I think it was pretty good. I almost kind of felt like it could have went either way, but yeah. Like, yeah, definitely. I'm glad that don't send the black girl home. We need her there.
We need her, like, for representation. I mean, it's pretty emotional. They're like sisters at this point. They're literal roommates, so I hope it's not awkward watching this episode this week. But they literally gave them You Don't Have to Say You Love Me by Dusty Springfield. And I'm just like, okay, we get it.
Girl.
Y'all laying it on thick now.
Y'all are so...
But...
Like, it's dumb.
I feel you on it could have gone either way. However, I think what won it for me was, like, Tace just staying in the front of the stage. Like, she didn't have to move as much. Ahura went to the back of the stage, but I think it's, like... a death knell in a lip sync. I need to see you. Why are you in the back?
Which goes back to my earlier comment about Latrice and Kenya Michaels. Sometimes you just got to stand there and just do the lip sync.
Emote. And Tace does that. She's like staying in her little side of the stage. She like dips down and gives them like emotion. And Ahura's like walking back and forward, pointing, and she's doing a lot.
Right.
But I don't think that either of them did a bad job. I just think that, you know, Tace edged her out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I think we talked about it on a previous episode. Like, sometimes there's, like, an air of desperation, and then sometimes there's an, like, just performing and interpreting the song. I think Tace was interpreting the song. Ahura was giving the air of desperation. And it doesn't always work in your favor.
Right. Right.
Sometimes if it's an upbeat song and you've got that air of desperation and you're doing tricks and you're kicking and you can really see that they're fighting for it, yes, that's great. But in a slow song, you need to just sell the song.
Yeah, like if there's going to be air of desperation, both competitors need to have air of desperation. Kind of like, going back to the beginning, Brooke and Evie, like, there was an air of desperation, so we're going to do all the kicks, flips, sparks, and cheesing all over these people's stage.
Right.
So, yeah, it's very that.
Yes, and theirs wasn't even, like, the, like, I'm fighting for my life desperation. It felt more like, hey, look what I can do. Like, it felt more like fun. You know? It felt like, yes. This is what I do. It seemed natural instead of, like, I'm going to jump up and drop down to my knees and I'm going to slide across the stage. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It just hit a little different.
Oh, definitely. There's work.
But anyway, Ahura is sent home and we are sad to see her go. I think she made great television. I love that she didn't hold her tongue and I respect the hell out of her. So shout out to you, Ahura.
Love you. We love you, girl.
I hope you're listening to this. If you are, call me. So anyway, I need some clothes, girl. So that ends another episode of Drag Race UK. Let's go ahead and talk about some tea and speculation. Do you know any tea about this season?
No. I mean, not that I don't think I know anything. I try to, like, not. I always love watching Drag Race as it's happening, and I try not to... like, I don't go into Reddit and all this other stuff. Like, I just kind of just watch. And then if I happen upon something, I happen upon something. But, and I do try to follow the girls as they come along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm slowly getting into Twitter. And
we love Twitter.
We do love a Twitter.
But,
and Instagram and all that.
But if you don't have any tea, I will give you some tea. Next week, they're doing a drag drama challenge, and I am really loving how many acting challenges and design challenges they've had, because it feels like that's most of the season.
Yeah, I do. I think I think somebody else said this too, like, we want to see more of the design challenges and see what the girls can, like, create and do. And yeah, some of, like, most people aren't designers. Like, I was actually sitting here last night trying to make something, and I, like, you know, it was very simple, but hopefully I chose a nice fabric, and it you know, the crowd seemed to like it, so whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like more of the times that they're able to create and show off a little bit more of themselves and what they're capable of doing, I think that's more so more effective than all these, some of these other challenges that they got going on.
Yeah, I like to see a well-rounded challenge selection, you know? And also, yet again, why has there not been a hair challenge on RuPaul's Drag Race? Anyway,
I would probably fail at that.
I mean, but that's the thing. It would put the girls to the test. I'm sure someone would do well.
Oh, fully.
Right, but I just like to see drag queens doing drag things, first of all. Like, not this arbitrary random stuff that doesn't really matter, like dressing as a clown or a baby. But I like seeing acting. I like seeing costumes. I like seeing just a nice, even spread. There are some seasons where it's very acting heavy, some where it's very design heavy. And I feel like this one's really been balanced.
Oh, fully. Yes.
We got our bing, bang, bong, and now we're done.
It is wild how Drag Race fans will get these songs. Like, yes, the songs are good and the songs are catchy, but it's just wild that they'll get these queens up to number one on the iTunes charts and all that. And I'm like, bitch, what? It's like, bing, bang, bong. And they're like, for the whole week, everybody's bing, bang, bong, sing, sang, song.
Yes, it's iconic.
It's iconic.
I love it. It really was like a great song. I was like, I'd bop to this. It's better than most of the stuff they're pushing out.
Oh, yeah. And then even like with the Frock Destroyers and their song.
That was a good one too.
Yes.
Bag of Chips is stunning. But we get some more drama in this drama challenge episode because Lawrence asks Ellie, it didn't get you a badge. Was it worth it?
Gag-a-rama.
I love it. It's so good. And I see that we're doing the puppet challenge for the mini challenge, so I feel like that's going to be even more shade and fuckery.
Yes, because it looks like she has Ellie's puppet in this thing. I was like,
hope so.
Oh my God.
I can't wait to see how this goes. It's going to be so fun. And then Michelle is seen asking someone, did you even read your script? Or don't you even read your script? Like, gag.
Oh my God.
It's about to be a rough road to the top three, but we only have one episode left before we get to our finale, I believe. So what's your prediction? Who do you think the top three is going to be?
I think that Miss Ellie is going home next week because she really just doesn't have any badges. And she's been doing good throughout the competition, but I think that it's going to be her time. Like, at this point, if you don't have at least a badge, why you here, girl?
Right.
You need help packing?
Right, exactly. So I hope so. I hope that somebody doesn't bomb and end up going home and then Ellie, like, gets to the top without a badge. Because, like, if you make it to the top three and you don't have a badge, you might as well just, like, enjoy your participation trophy. Like,
oh, fully. Fully.
But we will see how it all unfolds next week on Drag Race UK. Thank you so much for being a part of the viewing party. I had so much fun with you, and I loved your performances. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun, just, like, cutting up and kicking about Drag Race and just, you know, live chatting about all of it. Because, you know, I like to do it on the Facebooks and the Twitters.
Right? But, it's so fun.
It is so fun.
Right. Well, you could talk about Drag Race for, like, days and weeks, just speculating and thinking about all of the inner workings. And, you know, it's really fun. That's why I made this podcast, because I just want to chat with my sisters. I want to talk to drag performers about drag. That's so much fun.
Oh, yes. Fully.
So thank you yet again. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And that's all. Any last words? Anything you want to promote?
I don't really have anything to promote. I am, you can find me on Facebook under Champagne Monroe. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook under Champagne Monroe. Instagram and Twitter is at Champagne Monroe. Yeah.
And that's N-U-N Row. Like Storm.
Yes. Storm, yes. So Champagne was the color of my first car. Monroe is Aurora Monroe from Storm, from X-Men. That's her last name. So M-U-N-R-O-E. Find me.
Yes.
I promise I'm slightly entertaining.
Not slightly.
Slightly entertaining on Facebook and Twitter about the stupid shit that I say and do. So, yes, please hit me up. I'm always active. Yeah. And if you're in the Mobile area, find me at Bebob's.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye. We did it. All right. That's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag. Teach me how.